About 50 bills got teed up for a vote Wednesday, including a bipartisan bill allowing Florida Department of Transportation officials to change the speed limits on certain highways. The measure, by St. Petersburg Republican Jeff Brandis and Lakewood Democrat Jeff Clemens, could even allow officials to set speed limits as high as 75 miles per hour on some roadways. Brandis says it also impacts the minimum speeds as well.
This allows not only for us to adjust maximum speeds upwards, but it also requires the department to look at minimum speeds and where appropriate to adjust those. Today in statute we say, hey, if you're going 70, the minimum speed has to be 50. Sometimes that's actually not appropriate, and the minimum speeds should be closer to the maximum speeds. So this allows the department to have flexibility with both maximum speeds and minimum speeds.
But some, including Delray Beach Democratic Senator Maria Sachs, questioned the motive behind the bill.
Is this about speed? Is it about efficiency, or is it about safety?
And Senator Clemens insists the measure is really about efficiency and safety.
The generally held engineering practices are that speed limits should be set at the 85th percentile of the speed of the actual traffic as it moves on these roads. So if we can move traffic in a more efficient manner and do it in a more safe way, which is setting the speed limit at that proper level, then that's the way we should be doing it. In addition, it allows the experts to set the speed limits rather than the politicians.
The measure has so far passed its committees with both bipartisan support and opposition. Meanwhile, a couple gun-related measures also got teed up for a vote, including a bill allowing tax collectors to help the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services with gun permit applications. So did the so-called Pop-Tart bill. The measure by Baker Republican Senator Greg Evers is inspired by a young Maryland boy who chewed his Pop-Tart into a gun and got suspended for it.
This bill protects our children from the overreaching school administrators who are trying to enforce overly broad policies that affect our children and their families. You know, you can't legislate common sense, but we can and should legislate guidelines.
Under current law, students could face suspension or get a juvenile record for simulating a firearm or wearing a shirt with a picture of a gun on it. So Evers' aim is to put guidelines in place for school administrators to follow when it comes to their zero-tolerance policies regarding guns and kids at the school. Some Democrats questioned whether his bill allows school boards to weigh in and how that process works, and Evers says his bill takes care of that.
It holds the teacher harmless from having to report those issues and turns it over to the school principal that actually makes that decision. And then at that point, once he makes that decision, the parents can also appeal the decision to the school board if he goes overboard and doesn't use the common sense.
While Miami Democrat Dwight Bullard applauded the effort, he tried to tack on a few amendments aiming to deal with zero-tolerance policies in Florida as a whole.
Zero-tolerance is sort of this notion of being tough on quote-unquote crime as it relates in school. And I can tell you, as a school teacher, there's a stark difference between someone shooting guns in the street and someone spitting spitballs in a classroom. But right now, people spitting spitballs in a classroom are being arrested.
Tallahassee Democrat Bill Monford also expressed similar concerns, and Evers promised that next year all three will work together on legislation that would, quote, make a giant leap forward to build on his effort to let kids be kids. The National Rifle Association, a huge supporter of the bill, has also nicknamed the measure the Let Kids Be Kids bill. The Senate unanimously passed a measure aimed at addressing juvenile life sentencing laws as well. They also passed a bill along party lines with Democrats opposed that would make it a separate crime to cause the death or injury of an unborn child at any stage of development during an attack on a pregnant woman. For WFSU News, I'm Sasha Kortner.